Welcome back, and let's build a percussion layer that has modern punch, vintage soul, and proper old-school DNB energy in Ableton Live 12. This lesson is for beginners, but the goal is still serious. We're not just stacking random drum sounds. We're making a percussion bed that feels alive, musical, and supportive, so it can sit under a jungle break, a roller groove, or a dark DNB drop without getting in the way. The big idea here is simple. In drum and bass, percussion is not just decoration, it's part of the movement of the track. When it's done well, it adds shuffle, dust, energy, and tension. When it's done badly, it just clutters the mix. So we want that sweet spot where the percussion feels exciting, but still leaves room for the kick, snare, sub, and main break. Let's start by creating a separate group for this. In Ableton, make a new drum group or audio group and name it Percussion Layer. Keeping it separate is important, because then you can shape it without messing up your main drums. And that's a great habit from the beginning. Build in layers, but always listen in context. Before you load anything, ask yourself what this layer is supposed to do. Is it adding sparkle on top? Is it adding dusty texture in the mids? Is it creating shuffle between the main hits? In this lesson, we want a bit of all three, but in a controlled way. Now choose two contrasting sounds. One should be modern and punchy, like a short shaker, a tight hat, a rim tick, or a little top-end click. The other should feel more vintage, like a chopped percussion loop, a tambourine hit, a dusty hat loop, or a sliced break texture. That contrast is the whole vibe. The modern sound gives you definition and attack. The vintage sound gives you soul, movement, and character. If both sounds do the same job, you don't need both. Think in rolls, not just samples. If you're using one-shots, load them into drum rack. If you've got a loop you want to chop, use sliced a new MIDI track. If you want to keep things extra simple, simpler is perfect for beginners. Don't overcomplicate the setup. The sound matters more than the tool. Now let's write the rhythm. Keep it simple. Seriously, simple is powerful here. You want the percussion to support the break, not copy it. A good starting pattern is a few offbeat hits, maybe some light 16th note pickups, and one or two ghost hits before a snare. That's enough to create motion. A beginner-friendly approach is to place light hits on the offbeats, then add a couple of extra notes near the end of the bar or before the snare. If the main break is already busy, keep your percussion sparse. If the main beat is minimal, you can add a little more detail. The key is balance. And here's a really important coach note. A percussion part that sounds amazing on its own can become too much once the bass and drums are playing. So keep toggling the full beat on while you work. Always audition in context. That's how you avoid making a loop that sounds cool solo, but falls apart in the real track. Next, let's add groove. This is where the old school feel starts to show up. Open the groove pool and apply a subtle swing to the vintage layer only. Keep the modern layer tighter. That contrast is gold. A good starting range is around 54 to 58% timing, with a little random and a little velocity variation. Don't go overboard. You're not trying to sound sloppy. You're trying to sound human. A tiny bit of drag on the vintage layer can make the whole thing feel more like it came from a sampler or a dusty record, which is exactly the jungle energy we want. You can also manually nudge a few notes slightly late, or make a couple of ghost hits quieter than the rest. Velocity is a super underrated groove tool. Even small changes in velocity can make a pattern feel much more alive. Try alternating strong and soft hits instead of making everything equal. That simple move adds a lot of movement. Now let's shape the modern layer. On that channel, add EQ8. Then saturator, and if needed, drum bus. Start with a high pass around 150 to 250 Hz, so it stays out of the bass zone. Then add a little brightness if it needs it, maybe a small boost up around 6 to 10 kHz. If it gets harsh in the upper mids, you can gently cut around 2.5 to 4.5 kHz. After that, add a little saturator drive, maybe 2 to 5 dB. This helps the sound feel more present without just making it louder. If you want even more control, turn on soft clip. That can help keep the transients punchy and safe. If you add drum bus, keep it light. A little drive is enough. We're aiming for crisp and controlled, not huge and overcooked. Now for the vintage layer. This is where you bring in the dust. Add auto filter, EQ8, and maybe saturator or erosion. If the sample is too bright, low pass it a bit, maybe around 8 to 12 kHz. If it's muddy, high pass it around 120 to 200 Hz. Then add a little saturation for grain. If you want more old tape or sampler style roughness, use erosion very gently. A tiny bit goes a long way here. You want character, not haze. If the sample has too much room sound or too much low mid mess, clean it up. The vintage layer should feel warm, gritty, and lived in. but still controlled. That's the whole trick. Now group both layers into a bus. Name it percussion bus. On the bus, add EQ8 for cleanup, then glue compressor for cohesion. Keep the compression gentle. A ratio of 2 to 1 or 4 to 1 is fine, with a slower attack and a release that feels natural. You only want a little gain reduction, maybe 1 to 2 dB on peaks. If you squash it too hard, you kill the groove. This is another common beginner mistake, overcompressing because you want the layer to sound bigger. But indeed NB, bigger is not always better. You want punch and movement. If the bus gets too flat, the rhythm loses life. If the bus feels boxy, make a small cut somewhere around 300 to 600 Hz. That area can build up fast, especially with dusty samples. Also, if your percussion is fighting the snare, thin it out in the upper mids. Leave room for the snare to speak. In jungle and DNB, the snare is often the anchor. Your percussion should help it, not crowd it. Now let's think like arrangers for a second. Percussion is not just about rhythm. It's also about energy over time. So automate it. You can automate the auto filter cutoff on the vintage layer for builds. You can open it up slowly in an intro, then let it hit fully at the drop. You can also automate volume, reverb send, or even saturator drive to make the part evolve. A simple arrangement move is to start with just the dusty layer in the intro, filter down, and a little distant. Then, as the section builds, slowly reveal the brighter modern layer. Right before the drop, thin it out a bit, or remove a few notes. Then when the drop lands, bring the punch layer in fully. That contrast makes the drop feel bigger without needing more sounds. Here's a great advanced variation if you want to experiment. Duplicate your MIDI clip and add a short triplet fill at the end of every 4 or 8 bars. That little burst can create a lift before a switch up. You can also reverse one or two hits and place them just before a main accent. That creates a suction effect that makes the next hit feel stronger. Another fun idea is the two-speed groove. Keep one sound on straight 16ths and another with a slight swing. That tension between rigid and loose can feel really alive. Or try a call and response pattern, where one sound answers the snare and another answers the kick. That makes the rhythm feel conversational instead of looped. Now, before we call it done, let's check mono. Use utility on the bus and temporarily set the width to 0. Listen for what disappears. If your percussion vanishes or becomes weak, you may be relying too much on stereo width. Keep the rhythmic core centered. If you widen anything, do it only on the airy top layer, not the main punchy hits. This matters a lot in drum and bass, because the track needs to hit on club systems and still translate in mono. A percussion layer can sound exciting in stereo and still cause problems in the mix if you're not careful. Keep it tight where it counts. At this point, if the layer feels good, try resampling or bouncing it to audio. This is a classic jungle workflow and a very smart move. Once you print it, you can chop it again, reverse hits, create fills, or make a filtered version for breakdowns. Committing early can actually help you move forward faster, because it preserves the vibe instead of letting you over-edit it forever. And that's another pro habit. Once it feels right, commit. Don't tweak until the life is gone. If it already has the groove, capture it and keep going. Let's quickly recap the core method. Use two contrasting sources, one modern and punchy, one vintage and dusty. Keep the rhythm sparse and supportive. Add subtle swing to the vintage layer. Shape the modern layer for clarity and attack. Shape the vintage layer for character and grit. Glue them lightly on a bus. Check in mono. Use automation and resampling to make it feel like part of the arrangement. If you want a quick practice session, build a two-bar percussion pattern with only a handful of hits. Use a modern shaker or hat, plus a vintage percussion loop or chop. Add a little swing to the vintage layer. Put EQ and saturator on the modern sound, auto filter and erosion on the vintage sound, and then a light glue compressor on the bus. Toggle it on and off against a jungle break or roller groove until it adds motion without stealing attention. Try making three versions too, one clean and punchy, one dusty and swung, and one hybrid version with automation or a small fill. Compare how each one changes the energy. That's a really strong way to train your ears. So remember, the goal is not just more percussion. The goal is percussion with purpose. Modern punch, vintage soul, and enough space for the rest of the track to breathe. Get that balance right, and your DNB groove stops sounding like loops and starts sounding like records. Nice work, and I'll see you in the next one.